Brought to you by Penguin.
May contain lies. How stories, statistics and studies exploit our biases and what we can do about it. Written and read by Alex Edmonds. Introduction. The sweat was dripping down my face as I awaited my grilling in the UK House of Commons. I'd been summoned to testify in front of the Select Committee on Business. This was a group of MPs who, infuriated by a couple of high-profile scandals, had launched an inquiry into how companies were being run. In my day job as a finance professor, I'm used to being interrogated by students in lectures, journalists in interviews, and executives in workshops. But being probed by MPs on live TV and having your testimony transcribed as public record is another level, so I was feeling pretty nervous. I got to the House of Commons early and sat in on the session before mine, burying my head in my notes to swat up on every question the committee might ask. My ears pricked up when a witness in that session mentioned some research which sounded noteworthy. It apparently found that companies are more successful when there's a smaller gap between the pay of the CEO and the pay of the average worker. I was intrigued because my own research shows that employee-friendly firms outperform their peers. My studies don't focus on pay, but this new evidence appeared to complement my findings. For years, I've been trying to convince companies of the importance of treating workers fairly, and this looked like another arrow to add to my quiver. I wanted it to be true. If my 20 years in research have taught me anything, however, it's not to accept claims at face value. I pulled up the witness's written statement and saw they were referring to a report by Fallet, Rees and Venkateswaran. But when I looked it up, it seemed to say the exact opposite. The higher the gap between CEO and worker salaries, the better the company's performance. I was confused. Perhaps my nerves led me to misunderstand the study. After all, academic papers aren't known for their clarity. Yet their conclusion was right there on the front page and as clear as day. Companies do better if they have greater pay gaps. It then dawned on me what had happened. The witness statement actually quoted a half-finished draft by Fallet, Rees and Venkateswaran that was released 3 years before the final version. I was looking at the published article, after it had gone through peer review and corrected its mistakes, leading to a completely opposite result. The witness in question was from the Trades Union Congress, TUC, which holds a strong public position against pay gaps. In 2014, it published a report declaring that high pay differentials damage employee morale, are detrimental to firm performance, and contribute to inequality across the economy. So the TUC may have jumped on this preliminary draft without checking whether a completed version was available because it showed exactly what it wanted. My own session went smoothly. One question had me stumped, but I told the MPs that I wasn't an expert in that topic rather than trying to make up an answer. They seemed surprised, as if no one had ever admitted to not knowing something before. In the corridor afterwards, I told the clerk to the Select Committee about the tainted evidence in the earlier session. He seemed appalled and asked me to submit a formal memo highlighting the error. I did so, and the committee published it. Yet the committee's final report on the inquiry referred to the overturned study as if it were gospel. It said, the TUC states that there is clear academic evidence that high wage disparities within companies harm productivity and company performance. Even though this statement was contradicted by the very researchers the TUC quoted in support. Partly due to this claim, the report recommended that every large UK company disclose its pay gap, and this eventually became law. The takeaway I'd like to draw is nothing to do with pay gaps, whether they should be published or whether large gaps are good or bad. Even if bigger differences lead to better performance, we might care more about equality than profits. Instead, it's to stress how careful we need to be with evidence. This episode taught me two lessons. First,
sample complete. Ready to continue?